Lord laid on my heart. God's been on a roll lately, I guess, speaking to me about some different things. And this is something that has been pressed upon my heart, talking about there's no life in dead things. There's no life in dead things. You know, I don't know if you guys are very philosophical. I am frequently. Every now and then I think about things. Usually it gets dangerous, right, when I think about things. But, you know, what is the meaning of life? Has that ever concerned you or thought about it? You know, what's life all about? You know, to me, you know, especially when I lived in Denver for a while, it's such a big city, and you just see all these people going so many different directions, and it seems like they're going nowhere in a hurry. And see, that's what life can get like sometimes. And to me, people try to answer that question all the time, what is the meaning of life? Usually, we try to find life in all the wrong places. I know I did for many years. I tried to find something of a meaning for this existence that we have. To me, it all comes down to a proper understanding what life is. Have you ever defined what life is? Have you ever defined what success is in your life? I mean, if we look to other people, right, and we see what they have, is that really success? What's success for us? You know, we need to personalize it and get it back where we can understand and grab a hold of it. So to find the meaning of life, we're going to try to define it today a little bit. Passage we're going to look at starting off, very good resurrection story. I believe Dan maybe talked about it here a little bit. But Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 8, it says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood there in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified, they bowed their faces to the ground. And men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in still Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again.' And then it says, they remembered his words." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the moving of your Spirit here today on each of our hearts, each of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you've brought us to. But Lord, we just want to be a part of what you're going to bring us through now. Lord, what it is you want us to get to, where you want us to be. Lord, like you, thank you so much for rising from the dead, giving us newness of life. And Lord, right now I thank you that you also gave gifts. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be an operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're a little ahead of schedule now, but my goal was to try to get you guys out today in a decent time, because I've been a little long-winded the last few weeks, haven't I? For whatever reason, it just seems like you know, God just keeps giving me more stuff. I'll try not to chase any rabbits today. I'll try to stay on task, but sometimes the Holy Ghost wants to do some other things. We just got to be led by the Spirit, right? And follow what he's saying. So here we see the little bit of story about this, a little bit of background. These women wanted to come, I guess, and honor Jesus by anointing his body with spices. You know, Jesus had died on the cross on Friday, right? Right before the Sabbath started. The Jewish Sabbath started on Friday evening, and it lasted till Saturday evening. So a Jewish day starts at night, okay? And then it goes from night to night. It started that in the book of Genesis, how God worded things. So anyway, that's how Jesus was in the grave 3 days. You know, he died on Friday and then he rose on Sunday, and people say, well, that's only two. But he died still from Thursday night to Friday night that day. Then you had Friday night to Saturday night, that's the second day. And then Saturday night to Sunday was the third day. Okay? So that's how that math works. Anybody like math? You know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, that's how that works, in case anybody asks you. Now you know. So Jesus died right before the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any work. So they, you know, did some things, you know, for Jesus' body, and, you know, Nicodemus was a part of that, but the women wanted to do something themselves. So what they did is they rounded up some spices, and then they wanted to do that because the Jews never believed in embalming. They never embalmed people. So what they did, they would wrap them with cloth and anoint their bodies with spices, and that would kind of help with the smell of decay. I know it sounds kind of gross, but that's just their tradition. That's how they did things. So think about it. These women were going to go and work on this body that had already been dead for quite a few hours. But when they their biggest concern was, who's going to roll the stone away? A big, massive stone was put over the face of the grave. And here these women kind of went over there by themselves, and they really didn't know who's going to help. But lo and behold, when they showed up, the stone was rolled away. And when they looked inside, there was no body. And that body, we know where it's at, don't we? Right now it's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Praise God. So we can be excited about that. But they didn't really understand that. Even though Jesus told them. Have you ever had the Bible tell you something and you didn't quite get it? You know, I remember when I first started out in Christianity, I read a lot. And I thought I understood it, but there's some things I just didn't get. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things you have to keep hanging in there. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you say, well, I don't understand everything. That's okay. You just stay around. You just hang in there. You'll get it. You'll get it. But you got to hang around. You got to be around people of like precious faith. You know, we need to be talking the word and praying the word. You start to get that stuff in your life and it starts to gel. And then all of a sudden you get that revelation. So they had come there, and then all of a sudden, you know, when they noticed the body wasn't there, all of a sudden these angels appeared to him. And, you know, he just asked them a question. You know, why do you seek the living one among the dead? See, they had come there to honor Jesus. Much like Simeon, we talked about him last week. Remember him? He helped carry the cross of Christ. You know, what an honor that would have been. At the time, like I said, probably pretty scary. You know, if the Roman soldiers who were brutal and mean would say, hey, buddy, come grab this cross. You'd have thought, well, if I carry the cross, guess what's happening at the end? You know, I'm going to die on that cross too. No. But later on, I'm sure it was quite an honor to carry the cross of Christ. Well, here, these women, they wanted to honor Jesus, and you know, by anointing his body for burial. And see, when I do a funeral, I have two goals when I do a funeral. Number one, I want to glorify God. That's my first thing. I glorify God. Doesn't matter what people tell me, you know, I glorify God in that funeral. If not, you can get somebody who's not a pastor. You know what I'm saying? Because I work for God, and that's just how I roll. So I want to glorify him through the whole process because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then secondly, I want to honor the life of the person that died. Because I try to find things that they did in life, and I want to honor them for that, for the life they've lived. And see, that's what these women wanted to do. Jesus had made such an impact on their life, you know, that they just wanted to do something for him. And I don't know about you, but that's how we should feel. Because, I don't know, Jesus has done so much. He's done so much for you and I. And so there's things, you know, that we can do to honor him and to give him glory for life, you know, because to me, you know, when you're young, you know, you're invincible, right? Nothing can harm you for the most part. I mean, that's how I lived. I mean, nothing's going to hurt me. I mean, yeah, it may hurt a little bit for a day or two or a month or two, you know, but, you know, I'm invincible. Nothing can stop me. But as you get older, you start thinking and you start taking inventory of those who are here and those who are not here with us today. And you see how important life really is. The life that God's given us. So life is such a precious gift from God that we must be wise in how we live it. You know, we need some wisdom, don't we? You know, I know as I got older, I got smarter. Anybody been down that road? You know, when I was young, you know, I thought I was pretty smart. But I really did some dumb things, you know. I never took a, you know, I never tried to put a wagon, a little, you know, red wagon up on the roof and tried to fly that baby down. I was smarter than that. Has anybody here tried that one? Maybe a couple people? I don't know. Yep. Okay. Oh, she hadn't really tried it yet. Now, don't you kids try that at home. That's not what we're here about. We're not going to put a wagon on the roof and ride that baby down. No. But, you know, you kind of learn how things can happen. So these women were rewarded by God because they were the first ones to be a part of the risen Lord. And they'll always be remembered. They're written in Scripture. So, you know, how do you want to be remembered? What would you like to be remembered for? You know, hopefully it's something, you know, I know there's other things, but I'm focusing on Christ-like stuff right now. You know, when you're gone from this planet, how would you like to be remembered by everybody? You know, throw a good party? You know, hope not. Hope there's more than that. Because there's more to life than that sort of thing. And we're going to approach those. But they asked a very good question. You know, why did these women seek the living one among the dead? You know, these women had lost their way, much like you and I lose our way sometimes. You know, I've lost my way a time or two. And the angels gave them that challenge until they said to them, hey, remember. Remember. Remember what Jesus said when he's in Galilee? Remember the stories that he told you about how he must die first and then he's going to rise from the dead? I mean, I'm sure that just went whew, right over the top. They never grasped it, never did comprehend it until here they were faced with it. And, you know, Jesus wanted to understand because what happened, like you and I, have you ever had a tragedy in your life? And tragedy had affected their faith. And sometimes tragedies in our life can affect our faith. You know, if you really look around the world, there's a big phenomenon going on. Some big-time people, supposedly in Christianity, have turned their back on the faith. You know, and it's kind of sad because, you know, for whatever reason, they have a lot of notoriety, you know, and their followers and things like that. But see, the sad thing is, what I've noticed is that a lot of people can have a big online presence, but they don't have a God presence in their life. They know how to attract followers, but they don't know how to follow. And we need to learn how to follow first before we try to get people to follow us. Amen? I mean, that's very important. But what happened here was tragedy had come into their life. And I could imagine what that's like. You know, I've been in the room when people pass, but I've never, and I don't ever want to, be around a crucifixion. It was one of the most hideous ways to die. Everything that goes into what happened, and I know this is Resurrection Day, we're not supposed to think about, you know, the whole thing, but I want to give us the whole package. You know, Jesus, you know, on Friday went to the cross, and that cross, it's much like the one behind me right now, and they whipped him, and they beat him, and they did all these unholy things to him, and then he had to carry his own cross. And then he got some help because he was totally exhausted from the night of beating. But then they laid him down on that cross and they nailed his feet and they nailed his hands. And his followers, the ones who had put all their faith in the Jesus basket, you know what I mean? You know, you ever heard the old saying, put your eggs in the basket? You know, I'm not big on the Easter bunny, but you know, I'm just saying they put the eggs in that basket. And here say they was on Team Jesus. All of a sudden, boom, he's laying down. He laid his life down, and he allowed them to nail him to that cross. And they took him, and then they raised him. And he hung there on that cross, something like 6 hours, and they watched him die. And how impactful that is to someone's life. And that's what tragedy can do to us. See, they watch that tragedy unfold, and the things that they saw with their eyes, they can't unsee. And the things that they comprehended with their mind, it was just so hard to get it out of their mind. You know, how could such a thing happen, you know, to Jesus, you know, the guy who went around and would heal people and, you know, raise people from the dead himself. So how could this happen? So all these things were just coming into their life, and they just knew that for whatever reason, you know, they just gave up on the resurrection. Because what happened is the fact that life can be so hard on our face sometimes if we let it. You know, we go through things. That's the word we got to remember, through. We're going through things. We don't live there, although it seems like it sometimes, doesn't it? When you go through something. But see, you just got to look to the other side. You got to look to what your future's holding. What's just down the road a little bit. And see, they could see Friday, but they couldn't see Sunday yet. But Sunday was coming. Amen? Sunday's coming for you. You got to be ready for it. Sunday's coming in your life where you're going to rise above those circumstances. You're going to rise above those attacks. And so, like I said, it's kind of hard to unsee those things, but, you know, thank God for the blood of Jesus, because what happens is tragedy can cause us to lose sight of what is important, because it causes us to focus on the temporary. The temporary becomes the permanent, and it's wrong. See, people thought Jesus' death was devastating defeat when it's actually a great victory. You know, that it's easy for us. We can look backwards. Anybody can have hindsight, right? Hindsight's 20/20. You know, it's easy for us to look back and see that, oh yeah, that's what had to happen. Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose from the dead. But if you're living that experience, it makes it harder. And see, some of the things that you and I are going through, we're living that experience right now. That makes it a little bit hard, but still we can overcome it. And what happens then is that when tragedy affects our faith and it gets us to pull back from the things of God, and then we try to find life in all the wrong places. And we try to find life in dead things. Things that have no life in them. You know, what's a couple things that, you know, we do because mainly we don't understand what really life is, and we're going to explain that here in a moment. And, you know, I noticed before I got saved, I would try to find life in a lot of different things. And some things were quite lively, I ain't going to lie to you, you know, but it did not bring satisfaction. Did not bring satisfaction. Number one, we're going to see material things. You know, sometimes, you know, we chase after the things of this world, the material things, and, you know, we ask the question, when is enough enough? Now, some people do know a difference between that, but a lot of people, once they start accumulating things, things start to accumulate them, don't they? They start chasing after, well, I got to have this house, I got to have this car, got to have these clothes, got to have all these things, and they chase after all these things. And no matter how much we have, we want more. And we go after these things, and we think that, oh, if I just make more money, I'm going to be satisfied. No, it doesn't get it, does it? So then you got to go, I just got to make more. I gotta have a name, you know, after for myself. I gotta have these business cards, and I gotta have something big on there saying who I am. I gotta have a bunch of letters after my name, and that makes me somebody, you know. But that doesn't do it either, does it? All those things can't really satisfy, you know. And what I find out is the more things we have means the more things we have to worry about. You know, God bless a simple life sometimes. You know what I mean? Now, it's not wrong to have some stuff. We just got to be careful. Don't ever, you know, start to control what we have. And because, you know, first we worry about how am I going to get all this stuff, and then we worry about how am I going to keep all this stuff. You know, so all that kind of fits in. Secondly, some things we try to find life in. So first was material things. Then we try to find life in relationships. You know, have you ever had some relationships in your life? You thought, wow, you know, I'm lonely right now. I'm so lonely, I just need somebody. I need somebody in my life, you know, to be able to bring me, to make me happy. You know, so sometimes we put all this effort into this person only to watch them walk away. That's happened, hasn't it? Now, fortunately, not everybody walks out of our life, but many people do. You know, I found out, pastor in a church, that not everybody that starts with you is going to finish with you. But thank God they're there for the time. But if this church revolved around different people instead of Jesus, when they left, it would fail. This church does not revolve around me. Even though my wife and I started this church, our goal is that when we're done, church goes on. Because Jesus is bigger than us. And it's about what Jesus does. You know, thank God he uses us. But see, you have to be careful that we don't put a relationship in between us and God. You know, a lot of parents, like we say, their kid is their God. You know, they chase after their kid doing all these things, you know, and making sure they're involved in all this, you know, all the events, you know. They chase from this sport to that sport, from this, you know, dance hobby to tumbling or, you know, whatever, all that's out there, and they chase after these things. And, you know, it's good to do some things, but man, you got to make sure that, because hopefully the goal is them kids are going to move away when they get older, right? You know, and they're going to move out on their own. Well, if you put all your eggs in that basket and they move out, you got nothing in your basket. See, that's why I thank God for kids. I love my kids, but my kids are not my life. God is my life. It's hard to hold on because, you know, especially if you have little kids, they need you so much. But you can't get that out of balance, right? You got to keep that perspective. You know, what's really important. Well, then, after relationships, you know, we already tried material things and now relationships, then we can maybe focus on our career. You know, how many have a career, not a job? Anybody? A career means you love what you do, hopefully. Job, you just go there for a paycheck. So hopefully what you do, it's a career. But sometimes we can lose ourselves when we allow ourselves to be defined by what we do instead of who we are in Christ. Right? You know, I was an electrician. You know, my whole life was that. Or was it? I'll be honest, I've told this before. I know it's kind of stupid. I actually thought I was the best electrician on the planet. That's just how I live my life. I'm the best. Forget the rest. You know what I'm saying? Had that attitude. I knew I wasn't, but I had to have that attitude to be successful. And so I really thought my career was important. And then, I don't know, isn't it humbling to find out that when you're gone, they replace you really quick? You know what I mean? Here you think, I am this company. I'm the face of da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden you're gone, and next week somebody else is there right in your spot, just picking up right where you left off. And you're not missed anymore. See, that's what happens when we allow our career to be our life. We want to be the best at what we can do, but we're not defined by what we do. We're defined by who we are in Christ. I'm a child of God. That's never going to change. Never going to change. And if that's my important thing, and then I can live my life on this planet, there's not going to be the severe up and downs, you know, because I feel so much failure because I don't have the material things everybody else has, or I don't have the career, or I don't have the relationships that everybody else has. But my relationship with God is the most important, so I keep that intact, and then I just sail through life. It's a dream, right? See, we're living the dream when we're following Jesus Christ. So I want to look at what is life here for a moment. You know, because what I found out through a lot of study is that since God is the creator and giver of life, we should allow him to define what life really is. Because we don't know how to define life. We can't define it ourselves because we only base it on our experience. And let's say you were raised in a terrible household. I feel sorry. It happens, right? Not everybody here started off fair. Some people have a better start than others, but don't let your start affect your finish. You know what I mean? We can finish strong. We can change our outcome by changing our income or our input. You know, so don't look back at, hey, poor me. You know, I don't have nothing, never had nothing. Boo-hoo. Hey, Jesus is bigger than that. Jesus can change that. We just got to get to the place where we know where we're going and let him define that. See, God gave us life for a reason. And to me, God created us on purpose to have a purpose. And once we find purpose through God, believe me, people, I say this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Once you find purpose in God, that's the purpose you need. That's going to carry you through. Because we need to have a purpose. You have to have a reason for getting up every day. You have to have a reason to go and do what you do. You know, and if that purpose is to glorify God, God bless you. Because that's what it's all about. How important that is. You know, there's three basic words in the New Testament for life, and we're going to look at them briefly here. The first one is the word bios, B-I-O-S. And it's found in Luke 8:14. It says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way, they are choked out with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life." That word life there is the Greek word bios. And it says that they bringing no fruit to maturity. So this word here refers to the life in our physical body. That's where we get the word biology. You ever heard that word? Biology. Many of us have taken biology in school, right? Am I the only one? No, I think we all probably had to. Maybe you don't have to anymore. But for me, biology class was the place where my limited faith was challenged the most. Because what I mean by limited faith, I started off in the church when I was little, but then I grew apart. I quit going. So when I quit going, I quit learning. So instead of having the input from a good church and the Bible, the Word of God, you know, I let my education come from the world. So then I went to biology class, and for me, that was the first time that I was heavily introduced into evolution. And my view of creationism, like I said, was weak at best. And then when I was introduced to evolution, I had nothing in my arsenal to combat that thought. Now, I've always believed in God, but I didn't always believe in the church, because the church failed me. It's failed me, or I let it fail me. And that was my problem. You know, I didn't, you know, as a young kid, didn't really approach it right, whatever the case may be. But, you know, when that evolution was introduced to me, coming from a monkey, and then if you really study out evolution, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in a God. You know, to believe that all those things had to come to pass, and then all these critters out there, I mean, it's just, that's out there. But in my limited faith, I couldn't overcome that. So I come up with my own ideas, and I don't want to go into those today. I had some wild ones, you know, about how to adapt. But, you know, we need to prepare our children to be ready when they face some of these things in school, in education, where these overeducated people try to tell us what truth is when it's not. Truth is creationism, intelligent design by a godly creator who created us. Okay, next Greek word we're going to look at is psuche, not psycho, right? Some people are psycho, right? But psuche. Psuche is, Matthew 16:25, it says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." Now, this is talking about the psychological part of our life, or the human soul, which is our mind, will, or emotions. And this is where we get the word psychology. Now, psychology, different people have different thoughts about that. For me, coming at it from a creationist point of view, psychology can help. It can help fix some things. But they can't cure, because only the Creator knows how to fix us. You know? And what happens is when we put all our faith in the things of the mind, what happens is the fact that when we become a God to ourselves, because when we overinflate our psychological part of life, we can become a god unto ourselves, because we think, I can define things. It's my mind. I can do this. I can do that, whatever the case may be. And so then what happens is that life becomes all about feelings. You know, the psychologist, I do it when I counsel, just to mess around. I say, how does that make you feel? You know, just to kid around a little bit. I mean, I know feelings are important, but feelings do lie. You know, we can't live by our feelings all the time. Like I've always said, people that say I do sometimes all of a sudden say I don't no more. What changed? A feeling. You know? And I know there's things that come into life that cause feelings to change, but we need to be careful because, you know, life, you know, if it becomes all about our feelings and we go from relationship to relationship based upon our feelings, then we're never, ever going to get healed. We're never, ever going to fix our problems. You know, a lot of people, they take their problems to the next relationship, to the next relationship, because it's not really a psychological problem, it's a spiritual problem. And God can heal us because he's the creator. See, when life just becomes about feelings, we can easily be deceived by the devil. And that's what he's good at. He tries to deceive. So, lastly, and really what happens too, when it's all about feelings, is the fact that we can put undue pressure either up on ourselves or up on our partner, our spouse. Because if you're looking to your spouse to meet all your needs, they can't, that I know of. There's only one person that can really do it all, and that's God. Now, God uses our spouse, but yet, if we put undue pressure upon a person, a human being, who are as messed up as we are sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's a recipe for disaster. So now what I want to get to is the kind of life that you and I need to go for. And that's called Zoe, Z-O-E. You know, that back in the 80s, maybe, I don't remember, a lot of people named their daughter Zoe at the time. That was a big fad for a while. I don't know if they do it anymore very much. But we get that word. I'm going to share a couple scriptures for it because it's so important. One should be very familiar. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That word life there is the word Zoe. It's talking about eternal life. That's the kind of life that we want, is eternal life. John 10:10 then says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So, whenever you hear this word Zoe, if you kind of define it, it's talking about eternal life or the God kind of life, the kind of life that God wants you to have. Now think about it. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created you. You know, we were made in his image. And God wants to give us life. And see, maybe we started out trying to find life in all these other things. And always dissatisfied. Oh, they may cover it for a little bit. But always lacking. Never do feeling that sense of fulfillment. And see, that's what I believe is very important. I believe that each and every person that God has created should have a sense of fulfillment in their life. That sense of well-being. Because if we have that, that brings security. And security is very important. If we have security in our life, then we're not apt to go off and do crazy things. The reason why some kids act weird or crazy is because they feel insecure. That's why they need fences. That's why they need boundaries, right? When we give them boundaries, that helps them to stay, you know, in the place they need to be. So we want that God kind of life. And this is where we get the word pneumatology, which is a study of spiritual things in the Holy Spirit. Now, I could have said the word Scientology. No, not Scientology. That's a different one. Never mind. Spiritology. But there, I noticed online there was some weird things about that, so I chose not to use that word. So we're talking about pneumatology. The word pneuma is talking about spirit or breath. And that's what we need to really understand, because Jesus came to give us life. When he rose from the dead, he came to give us life. You know, eternal life. Did you know eternal life starts the day you accept Jesus Christ in your heart? that's when eternity starts for you as far as the eternal life part. And it's important that we have a comprehension of that. We don't have to wait to die to be able to enjoy many of the things that God is coming to give us. God can give us the overcoming life. We can overcome the battles and things that hold us down. That's what I think is exciting about this. See, I had a misunderstanding about God growing up. Maybe I didn't pay attention properly. Maybe I just didn't understand it totally. Either way, you know, I never knew about this stuff. I never knew we could win. I never knew that. I started off thinking, well, God doesn't want me to have any fun. And if I did a lot of fun stuff, well, then I'm going to hell. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I thought. You know, back in the days, Highway to Hell was my theme song. I mean, I played that over and over. That's just, and it didn't scare me. And that's what the sad part is. Because I never understood what that was all about until I got saved. That changed everything. It changed everything. Understanding what life's all about. You know, we were created for a purpose, and that purpose can only come from God. He came to give us that abundant life. And the word abundant life is talking about over and above or more than enough. How many of us would actually say that we have more than enough when it comes to life? Overflowing. Like if I had a bottle here and I just started to pour in this glass, I just kept pouring. See, that's the life that God came to give. He just keeps pouring. Just keeps pouring. Doesn't shut it off. He wants to give us that life on the inside, that eternal life. When Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't just to deliver us from hell, but it was to also give us life today, that we can have that life, the same life like Adam had, shall we say, in the Garden of Eden, that connection with God. And it's important that we understand that, because abundant life, or the God kind of life, is a life without lack or void. You know, one of the greatest things that I experienced after I got saved is the fact that I didn't feel like I had to strive anymore. You know what I mean? It's not that I quit trying, but I didn't have to try anymore to try to find life, because I found it. Once you get the real thing, you know what I mean? You know, I didn't have to go out and have to impress anybody anymore. I didn't feel like I had to do all those things, because, you know, once you receive it, you know, it's a powerful life-changing experience. And the reason why that sometimes you and I are not living the abundant life is because we're focusing on the body life or the soul life and not the spiritual life. So I'm just asking us, carve out some time for God. Carve out some time for church. Carve out some times to learn about the things of God. That's a challenge I throw out. You know, I encourage you to come be a part of what the church is doing, you know, every Sunday. Take notes, write it down, study it for yourself. There's a lot of good aids we can hook you up with to help you and to find out if it's real for you. You know, it's a challenge. I'm just throwing that down. See where God can take you. You know, I know He can do many great things. So Jesus cares a lot about life, and I'm going to close with this passage here. It's found in Romans 20:15. Romans chapter 20, verse 15. And it's a scripture, you know, talking about the end of days. You know, a lot of times that scares people. Book of Revelation kind of freaks some people out sometimes, right? But it says here, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, there I had to do it, right? I had to give you the full picture. There's the abundant life, and then there's not. And if we choose not, that's on us, not God. People say, why is God sending people to hell? He's not. He gave us a way out. And one of the greatest gifts He's given us is life, and after that, He gave us free will, where you can choose. Did you know you can choose what you want to be in life? You can choose who you want to marry. You can choose to go to work or not go to work, right? I mean, after a while, that'll come back to bite you, won't it? You know, when the bills are due. But you still have the right to choose. And so by not choosing, we've already chosen. So what I see from this here, there's a book of life. And as a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, your name is in that book right now. It's in there. So when you pass from this life to the next life, you're in. That's just the way it is. But if we pass from this life to the next life and our name's not in that book, there is no second chances. No second chances. And so to receive that life that God has, that means we need to do something today about it, to receive it. And if our name's not in it, then we're doomed to the lake of fire. And that's just a tough thing, because eternal life is a life without ending. And, you know, it can be eternal life and eternal death. But the good news is Jesus' death and resurrection is something that we can all have, and it should not be taken lightly. You know, Jesus did not come to give you a better life. He came to give you a new life. And there's a difference. Jesus didn't come to make you better. He came to make you new. Because we're all born separated from God due to the sin of Adam. And there's something that we need to do about it. We need to come to him. Because at great expense, Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for our sins. And then his body, you know, he laid his life down. They didn't take it. He gave it. You know, he could have saved himself at any time. But he gave it because he wanted an investment. Did you know you're an investment? That's how God looks at you. You're an investment. And you're a good investment. And you were so worthy that, you know, God loved you so much that he invested his life into your life. But yeah, we need to do something about it. You know, after he went to the cross and they put him in the grave and then death could not hold him, he rose from the dead. And what I found out in my life is that destiny is hidden in our decisions. You know, I've watched people for years. I enjoy watching people. It's better than TV sometimes, you know. The idea that, you know, I watch the decisions that different people make in their life. You know, what they do with what they have. Like I said, we all don't have the same start. You know, y'all don't have the same amount in your banking account when you start out. Y'all don't have the same house, same car, same clothes. We all have different things, but what do we do with what we have? What do we do with what we have? And see, that's what our destiny is revealed in that. It's our decisions that we make every day is what depicts what the outcome's going to be in our life. You know, how important is abundant life? How important is our spiritual side of life? Man is a spirit, he has a soul, lives in a body. You know, we feed ourselves and we try to maybe feed our mind intellectually, but we need to feed our spirit. We need to do that. So the only way that we can do that, it says in, you know, in the Bible, is that a life of surrender. You know, a life of surrender is the only way that we can escape defeat. Because we all just get one shot. There is no reincarnation. I know man has tried to, and that's out of people's soul, that's out of their psychology, where they've tried to create these different religions where, you know, maybe you get another chance or maybe you get all these things. But no, we have one shot, we have one choice, what to do. And I want to close here in prayer. And as we celebrate the resurrection today, I want to give opportunity that maybe the resurrection can come and be a part of your life. How important it is to receive the free gift of God. All we have to do is surrender our life. You know, I know it's not about just maybe praying some simple prayer. I mean, it's really more than that because it has to come from our heart. You know, so it's not something we can just do in our mind. Many people miss heaven by 12 inches, distance from their head to their heart. So with every head bowed and eye closed right now, I want to give us opportunity. If you feel the Holy Spirit just touching your heart, I want to give you that opportunity to come and to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.